Once again, good morning. Now, we started a series of studies that we're looking into God's Word. A series that we've titled Simon Peter, an Apostle of Christ, which is the way Peter opens his first letter in the book of 1 Peter. And I want to take the time to go through scriptures and look and see how our Lord led Peter to that point where he wrote those two letters. All the way my Savior leads me, correct? That's what we sing. We sing of the sovereign God who rules and over everything according to his will. Everything that we can see, everything that we know, our God has led us and guided us all the way our Savior leads us. Same thing goes for Peter. And that's what I want to look at. How did our Lord lead Peter to come to that point where everything he had to say pointed to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior, our Savior? We're looking to the life of this one called Simon Peter, praying to our God, Lord, teach us. As it is written in Scripture, and they shall all be taught of God. So the apostles believed the same. Praying to receive an understanding of how God worked in his life, in Peter's life, leading him to write these two letters. And we began by looking at his calling in the first one, and the power of God when he just walked by and said, come, follow me. And what did they do? They came and followed him right away. In a way that we could see even in our own life. On how, if we look back at that very first time that we heard the truth, the true gospel being preached, what did we do? We continued, didn't we? Our God is so good that even when we try not to, if we're his, he'll bring us right back to him. Even if we're like Jonah and we want to run and get on a ship and sail somewhere else, our Lord will figure out a way to bring us right back to him. We saw the power of Christ in the calling, and then we looked at the results of that calling. We looked at how Peter fell at the knees of Jesus after they'd gotten back to shore. Peter had just seen a multitude of fish, so many that it was sinking two ships when they had fished all night long. But Peter didn't see just that. He saw the power of God in this man called Jesus. The Lord revealed who it was that said, go out into the deep and fish. He revealed it to his heart. And what did Peter do? There was many there who saw those very miracles. Very many who saw, wow, look at that. That is so cool. And many did exactly that, didn't they? But what did Peter do? He dropped at the knees of Jesus and he said, depart from me. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. He knew that this was God walking with him. Just as each of you and I know this is God walking with us by the reading of his word. We know that this is about Jesus, but we know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is revealing himself to us in this word. We must be taught of God. And that's exactly what is happening with Peter. God is teaching him that this man, Jesus Christ, is God in the flesh. Look at the miracles that he did. Remember all when he went and he was talking, and he said, you've seen the miracles that I do, but you still believe not. Why? Because you're not my sheep. Peter believes because he's a sheep of God. He's a child of God. He was the gift of the Father to the Son before the world began, wasn't he? But still, Peter was just a man and had to be taught. Just as you and I had to be taught. I didn't start coming here and boom, all of a sudden I knew everything about the Lord that I know today, which is very, very little. But still, what I know today is something that's taken time. Same thing with you folks. what you know today has taken the time of God to show you the things of himself in the world even. The miracles. When I look at the devotionals that we used to have when Pastor Gene were here, and the man that would volunteer for it would show up and he'd read a part of scripture, and man, it would just go perfectly with what Steve was going to bring in the Bible study. And then what Steve brought in the Bible study, and none of these three men would go perfectly with Pastor Gene and his message from the pulpit, and not one of them had talking to each other about what it was they were going to bring. We know that those things are the works of God. We can see it. Because men didn't invent that. Men didn't come up with that. God worked it out. So we saw how Peter fell at the knees of Jesus, declaring his unworthiness before a holy God. We saw the effect of God in the presence of this man. The same effect that you and I have had when we realize this is the true and living God that we are reading about. This is the true and living God who is speaking to us through his word. How unworthy we are before a thrice holy God. And it just magnifies, blows up that wonderful grace that he has for us, doesn't it? How great is his mercy to us. Peter is now one to be taught of God the things regarding his son. His heart has been prepared. He sees his unworthiness before Jesus, and he's now ready to be taught the things of Jesus, the Christ. As we've all come into this same need to learn more about Jesus, so did his disciples. We must learn of this one who is our Savior. In Romans 10:14, a very familiar verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Or in the 17th verse of that same chapter where it says, so then faith, the belief of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, please. And we'll begin there this morning. We don't just all of a sudden know all the things of Christ, as I said a moment ago. We must be taught. And we are taught through the preaching of his word, as we just read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, don't need to turn there, we're going to go to Matthew. For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. All of the smartness of the world, and I've used this example before, and you know, I think you can all agree with me on this, the Pope probably knows as much about Scripture as anybody else in the entire world. He's probably wiser than any man is as far as the writings of God's word, yet he knows not God. Men who know God would not act as themselves being gods, sitting on their little throne over in Rome, having people kiss their hands, treating them like they're gods. You know, when God walked this earth, he didn't act like God. He acted like a servant, didn't he? You want to be like God? Act as a servant. Because that's what God did. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The apostles needed to be taught just as all who come to know Christ must be taught. In John 6:45, it says, it is written of the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Are you with me in Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13? And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say that the Son of Man is this morning? Do you know him as God Almighty in the flesh? He who has power over everything? He who is sovereign over everything, he who created everything for his pleasure. Verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he, our Lord Jesus, saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? These very ones who he had been teaching, who do you say that I am? Is what he's asking. You who I've been teaching firsthand, walking through this countryside and teaching the with miracles and so on. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. The words of men have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. We must all be taught of God. To know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, God the Father must teach the hearts of men. He must remove that old black stony heart that we were born with and give us a heart of flesh to believe on who he is. He goes on, he says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the rock of who Christ is. And I say that because the Catholics have taken this verse and said upon Peter as a rock. Peter was not a rock, he was a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only rock to stand on. On Christ the solid rock I stand, everything else is sinking sand. Upon this rock, this Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. To say that the Lord Jesus Christ went and died for everybody and that yet some will still be going to hell throws that verse out the window and makes it worthless. Now there's a lot of teaching right here in Matthew 16, and we're going to come to that at another date. But I want to come back to these points at another time. So for now, now that we've established the teaching is of God and not of the flesh, turn if you would over to Luke chapter 5. And let's pick up where we left off after Peter had been called by Jesus Christ to be a fisher of men. Join me in reading verse 12 through 26, please. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, speaking of our Lord, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. His apostles are right there with him, folks. They're seeing this very fact that somebody is coming to the Lord and saying, Father, if it be your will, if it be your will, you can make me clean. And what does Christ say? He says, I will, be thou clean. Wasn't somebody saying, you know, if I walk up to the front of the church, Lord, will you make me clean? If I make a decision to start following you, if I choose to decide to follow you, will you make me clean? No, if you will. Our Lord is teaching his apostles right there whose will matters. And it's the will of God every time. Because he will not share his glory with another. And that includes me and you and any other flesh that walks this earth. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now, do you think they had doctors and stuff that could cure leprosy at that time? Don't believe they did. Kind of like cancer is today, isn't it? We think we can cure it. No. We may have eradicated leprosy out of the world. You know, I heard that it's coming back. I heard something the other day about a story about how some people over in the Middle East had come down with leprosy again. I don't think it's coming back in droves, but there have been a couple of people who've had it. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show thyself to the priest. This was the procedure that they were told to do. This was the law of Moses. Go to the priest and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went the fame abroad of him, and of the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors and law of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee. He was teaching. It came to pass on a certain day that he was teaching. He was teaching his apostles. He was teaching those around him. God was teaching. And Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in on a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by the way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven. This is important. What did our Lord do first? Man, thy sins are forgiven. Continue on. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Oh, if they only knew. But when the Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. All power in heaven and earth has been given to him. So that we may know that this Jesus that we read about in scriptures had power. He had the power to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherewith he lay and departed to his own house, doing what? Glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things this day. Peter, an apostle, who was being taught about who Christ is, what the power of God is. The power of God is not this little weakling God that the Pharisees and the scribes are preaching in our world today. Not this little weakling who's saying, Please come to me if you will. No, they had to learn the truth of who Christ is, all-powerful, almighty. And our Lord was very clear about that, wasn't he? Did he try to beat around the bush about that at all? Was there any subtly in that at all? No, it was clear. It was simple. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. That ye may know that I am God in the flesh. That ye may know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one with all power in heaven and earth. I say thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house, ye sick with palsy. Peter and those other men whom Christ had called were learning the power of Christ, God in the flesh, the God-man, and his purpose for coming. They were not only witnessing the power of this one who's called Jesus in what he had, but they were witnessing why God had come to this earth. They were seeing God as the servant that I spoke of a moment ago. They were not seeing this rich, all magnificently dressed person. They weren't seeing this man sitting on a throne, the glory that was God, that belonged to God. No, they saw a servant. Scripture declares that this one was not even one who you would look at with any fancy, with any desire. He was comely, common. He looked common. Try not to, and I know it's difficult, because I have difficulties myself in thinking of Jesus and not seeing that long-haired hippie that everybody makes a portrait of. This handsome guy with the hair, scraggly, they're making movies about him and stuff nowadays. Our Lord was not to be desired when he walked this earth. The only reason people thronged around him was for this reason, to be healed of their sicknesses, to be fed because they were hungry. I wonder, is that not what a picture we have of the churches in our world today? People are so hungry for something. They're so sick of what they see inside themselves that they're looking for something, anything. Anything but the truth. So to satisfy their own internal needs, they go to what tickles their ears. They go to those things that say, you can be a good person if you want to be. I say, arise and take up thy bed, thy couch, and go into thine house. Christ our Savior came to save sinners. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people. To heal the ones that were given to him before the world was. Did you notice? Remember I said a moment ago there was something very important. Did you notice our great God forgave this man of his sins before he healed him? Interesting. Why didn't he just say, okay, you know, rise up and walk? Oh, by the way, your sins are healed. Your sins are forgiven. No, our Lord does everything for a purpose, folks, and that includes the way he inspired this book to be written. You see, the saving of our sins was before the world was. I know, Christ hadn't come yet. This is the time that Christ came right now. But God the Father sees our sins as no more. And he's seen it that way since the beginning of the time when everything was started, because he saw what his Son would do. And the blood of his Son was effectual then as it shall be for eternity. Because it's the blood of God, it didn't just come along and start there. No. God the Father has always seen us as his children, has always loved us for his Son's sake. Our sins were forgiven before anything ever started. The covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit was made before the worlds were created, right? Isn't that what Scripture tells us? Well, who's going to turn the hand of God? Who can stop what God has planned? Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God looked upon his Son as our Redeemer before anything else was created. As God in the flesh, Christ has the power to forgive, the power to put it away, and that's exactly what he did. Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. You see, the lesson for Peter was this. This man, Jesus, is God in the flesh, sovereign ruler over all that is. And it was his will this very moment, at this very time, to heal this man before the wicked, religious, self-righteous leaders of that day. You see, they taught works. You must be circumcised. You must do this. You must do that. There's always something that you must do. Except for when you're talking about the true and living God. Because when you talk about Him, you talk about grace. And grace means there's nothing you can do. And you talk about the living God, you talk about His love and His mercy for His people. And this is what Jesus was teaching to these very men who needed to learn about Him so they could write books, so that Jesus could go on teaching as He has taught us. Thank God for His word. Thank God for the new heart to believe and to learn from His word. They, the self-righteous, religious men of the world, teach works. Our Lord Jesus Christ teaches grace. And when those who are chosen in Christ have had the revelation of Christ revealed to their heart, we go our way, glorifying God by praising His Son for the grace and the healings of our sins. Amen.